Welcome to Pitlochry Church and this service where we come together to worship God and to give thanks for the life, the faith and the Christian service of David Wilkie. As you know, the committal service took place earlier today, but it's fitting that we meet here in Pitlochry where David worshipped and where he served as an elder since moving here from Braes of Rannoch. And here he was a much loved and respected member of this congregation. David's death came very suddenly and has shocked many folk, but of course none more so than Ginny, Alistair, Richard and the wider family, and to them we offer our sympathies today as we pray that God's help and comfort would be there for them. The Apostle Peter, whom we'll hear from later on in one of the readings, wrote once in the letter in the New Testament, "Cast all your anxieties on God, because he cares about you." So we worship God and give thanks for David's life and Christian witness, knowing that God is with us and we can put our hand into his. But Peter also wrote about the hope we have. And so we listen also for a word from God in the promises of the gospel, promises of help now and hope for the future. Because Jesus, who died on the cross and who rose again, is our promise of eternal life. And so Peter could write, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his mercy gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The inheritance to which we are born is one that nothing can destroy or spoil or wither." So in our first hymn, we sing of that hope in the wonderful hymn, "All my hope on God is founded, all my trust he will renew."
Thank you.
Before we join in prayer, let's listen to some verses in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom then should I go in dread? One thing I ask of the Lord, it is the one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Wait for the Lord, be strong and brave, and put your hope in the Lord. Let us pray. God, our Father, you are the goal of our pilgrimage, the aim of our lives here, and our eternal home when our life here is over. We praise you for the gospel of hope in Jesus Christ, that we are secure under the shadow of your wings. You are our companion and strength throughout life. And you are our hope and help in our difficulties. We bless you for the love you've shown us through Christ, which brings forgiveness and a fresh start, making us your sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, be present with us now, that as we hear again the good news of your love and the promises that you make, we may find comfort and peace deep within. For as Jesus died and rose again, so we who die will rise again in glory to live with you and all those we have loved. Be with us now as we worship. Help us to celebrate David's life and look forward in hope to what you've prepared for us through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now Linda's going to read the Bible passages for today.
The first reading is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The second reading is from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will restore himself to you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And to him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Linda. Now, Richard and Erin are going to read two poems for us.
As many of you'll know, Dad was part of a Sunday morning Heartland radio show called Heart and Soul with Howard Simpson, who's with us today. I'd often listen to this online from the other side of the country to hear what the weather's like in Pitlochry. Wet, wild, wet and windy, or calm, cold and crisp. Before COVID, this was a live programme with Dad introducing pre-recorded interviews and other content that he found to be particularly moving or inspirational. Dad was always very organised, and he and Howard always had at least a few weeks' worth of material prepared well in advance. The first Sunday after Dad died, Mum and I tuned in to the radio show to hear Dad introducing an interview with Kenneth Stevens, a poet from Perthshire, who discussed his influences and picked out the following poem by Wendell Berry. It had obviously touched Dad enough for him to select it for his programme. And as we sat and listened together, we could see why. The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
So I wrote this poem about my grandpa, David Wilkie, and I'm just going to read it. So, who was Grandpa? Grandpa was someone who put thought into everything he did. He was so caring and thoughtful, he never made a fuss. He liked writing to me and James and sent lot haikus and limericks on postcards based on our recent adventures. Here is one he sent to us after we visited the Outer Hebrides last summer. We had a rather wet experience. Bembecula haiku. Bright sunshine, cloudless blue skies on the next jigsaw. Nearly every time we visited him in Pitlochry, we would set up bool and play with us on the lawn. Last time he visited, he had prepared special bubble mixture and we all tried making giant bubbles. Grandpa was always thinking of others. He would often get us theatre tickets. Recently we saw Little Woman because I loved the book and had watched the film so many times. He also got us tickets to see Sunshine and Leith, as his favourites of my mum. He was very thoughtful and so kind that I can't believe I have to say goodbye.
Erin, for these lovely words. We sing again in the hymn, Be Still My Soul. And after this hymn, Alistair's going to give us a eulogy for his father.
Thank you. So we've written this tribute in three parts, looking at David's early years, his time at Rannoch, and his time here in Pitlochry. David Roy Wilkie was born in Yelling in Cambridgeshire in 1940 of Scottish parents, Elizabeth and David. David's father had been born at sea, and a picture of the sailing ship that his grandfather, Thomas Wilkie, had captained was always on display, a symbol of his nautical heritage. And we shall hear how this might have influenced David later. Named after his father, David would sign his name using his first two initials, D.R. Wilkie. This effectively gave him an honorary PhD. Many letters over the years were addressed to a certain Dr. Wilkie, which I think he actually rather enjoyed. Growing up, David had a good friend called Jeff, and the two friends would cycle together to the local airfield to see aircraft take off. This led to a love of planes and of cycling. One year in their late teens, he and Jeff even cycled all the way up from Cambridge to Larbert in Scotland to visit family, an epic journey with the young men staying at youth hostels along the way. David's interest in planes meant that after school, he joined the Air Cadets and flew a whole series of aircraft, such as gliders and two-seater single-engine chipmunks. David went to Kimbolton School in Huntingdon and did well there, both academically and also enjoyed the sports, even the cross-country running. He took this love of sports with him to Oxford University, where he studied geography. Using his height to his advantage, he rowed for St. Peter's Hall College, doing well enough to be presented with a pair of oars for beating the other college in a race. To this day, these huge oars are proudly hanging in the garage. Looking back at old photographs, it's clear that it was in Oxford that David developed his sartorial style of a smart tweed suit and a tie. In later years, if the family were ever stuck for Christmas presents, some bright socks, perhaps with penguins on them, or a colourful tie would go down very well. David was an only child, but he had a close connection to his Scottish family. For a time, he stayed with his Aunt Christina, Auntie Sis, in Larbert, where he got to know and became close to his cousins, especially Margaret and Kay, and their families, the Murrays and the Frosts. Growing up, we remember many happy visits to the Frosts in Edinburgh and to the Murrays in St. Andrews. And David always appreciated their warmth and generosity throughout his life. After university, David thought about joining the RAF, obviously with his love of planes, but was persuaded by his friend and mentor Jim Challis, the old chaplain at Kimbolton School, to go into teaching. So David became a geography teacher, and he started working in London. He found the going tough and the students unruly, and he eventually decided that he needed a change of scene. David applied for and got a job at Ranner School in Highland, Perthshire, the complete opposite of South London. For the interview, David got an overnight train in London on a horrible, wet, murky night. The next morning, he found himself emerging at Ranner Station. What a wonderful sight he saw. The hills were covered in snow and pink from the rising sun. The air was clear and pure after a smoggy London. So in April 1972, David took the job, and he was delighted with his move to the beauty of the shores of Loch Rannoch. Except there was only one problem. A few months earlier, he had met a beautiful young woman called Virginia. He met at a barn dance in London. They'd started to see each other, to court, in January, only a few months before his move. After their second meeting, Virginia told the girls in the office that she knew who she was going to marry, but would David reciprocate? Lots of letter writing ensued and long-distance drives from Rannoch to London for the weekends and holidays. But by the summer, the long, lonely months at Rannoch had convinced David that he should propose. They married at the end of that year in December, a whirlwind romance. They had a honeymoon on the Isle of Skye in January in a borrowed friend's cottage. This was a romantic but very chilly holiday. And then it was back to Rannoch. At Rannoch School, David was surprised to find his students more attentive than he was used to in London. They even thanked him for their lessons. There was, however, lots of time spent on school activities rather than just lessons, and David found himself immersed, sometimes literally, in many activities himself. He was soon tasked with taking the boys sailing, his birthright, after all, considering his grandfather, Captain Tom Wilkie. However, one of his letters had requested Ginny buy him a How to Sail book. How hard could it be? He didn't enjoy his first capsize, but after getting out of the cold waters of Loch Rannoch, in retrospect, he found it very invigorating. When they were first at Rannoch, there was no school chaplain, so David and Ginny ran the Christian Fellowship, which met after chapel. Ginny had to learn how to bake cakes and pancakes, as this is mostly what the pupils came for. To take a break from the school, they joined the church at the Braes of Rannoch, a lovely little stone church at Bridge of Gore at the top of Loch Rannoch, where David became a treasurer and an elder of the church. The minister at that time, Archie Chisholm, wrote to us this week to say, David always seemed to take life in his stride, whatever the situation, and one felt his quiet, genuine faith gave him the ability to be in full control of every situation. He added, I'd like to express my personal thanks for so much help in Rannoch during our years together there. After a couple of years of married life at Rannoch, David and Ginny had two boys, myself, Alistair and Richard, both born in Perth Royal Infirmary. Whilst David was there as a dedicated father for my birth, he was slightly traumatised by that experience. And unfortunately, he didn't make the long drive to Perth for Richard's delivery. Although it was the most important birth I have written here. I think Richard helped me write this section of the speech here. When he wasn't busy with school, David was a good, attentive father. And once we started at Rannoch School, he was even our geography teacher. I once asked another student if he liked my dad as a teacher. He declared he did because David showed shark videos at the end of term. During our childhood, David loved entering us into competitions. And at 9 years old, Richard designed a futuristic bedroom with David helping with the woodwork, and they won an all-expenses-paid trip to Expo 1985 in Japan. Sadly, the only competition I won for a geography transport essay was a free Calmac ferry from Oban to Mull. Again, Richard has helped me with this section. One of the things about being a teacher was being able to take long holidays. And David enjoyed his summer holidays. When we were younger, this usually started with a long drive down to Seaford in Sussex to spend time with Ginny's brother, Terry, and family, Heather, Carol, and Mark. Never one to let a holiday get in the way of a geography field trip, I was encouraged to spend a summer in Seaford studying the literal drift, the way the shingle moves along the beach. I painted stones red and numbered them and dropped them into the sea. David supervised and helped explain to puzzled children on the beach that the stones should be left alone and not touched. Sometimes we would go further afield, take the ferry to France or fly to Spain. Often our holiday snaps would then make it into later geography lesson plans. Later on, David and Ginny would continue to enjoy travelling, and over the years they visited Italian gardens, Alpine lakes, and they even made a return trip to Japan. At Rana School, David contributed a huge amount. Amongst other things, he was a housemaster at Pottery's House for many years and also took the cross-country running and volleyball. He also became the head of geography and also the head of careers, helping countless students attain their grades and give advice on their potential future careers. Never demonstrative, if he did a job, he would like to do it well. He always liked to be organised, and he delivered well-prepared and considered lessons. His longtime colleague, Lawrence Pallister, wrote to us saying, David was always an excellent colleague, very easy to get on with, never criticised, and rarely, if ever, appeared flustered. I'd like to think that over a period of 20 years, we made a good team in the geography department. David also enjoyed photography. As was the way at Rannoch, he then found himself taking pictures of all the student plays, teaching some students photography, how to study the light, the composition, the texture, and then he even became a photographer for two weddings held at the school. Music was a very important part of David's life, and at one point he was even in a barbershop quartet. As a bass, he was also a mainstay of the Rannoch School Choir. As part of the choir, David and Ginny enjoyed trips to Malta, and they even sang in St. Mark's in Venice. David also took part in a number of Gilbert and Sullivan productions, including playing the role of the Mikado, complete with a long, false moustache. Pitlochry life began in the year 2000, when David retired after 28 years at Rannoch School. In retirement, David spent a great deal of time on his three main passions: the church, music, and gardening. For an insight into his work with the church, Mary Haddo, the previous minister, contacted us to express this, her gratitude that David was part of our session, our choir, the caretakers, and our prayer group. I have thought how he and Ginny were supportive of any additional services in the church year, and of course the delight he took in words. Mary continued, I have thought of the richness of his voice and how important it was in all he did, his teaching, his singing, his broadcasting, his praising. In Pitlochry, David was part of not one, not two, but three choirs, the church choir, Sine Nomine choir, and the Pitlochry choral. At Christmas time, David would take great delight in wearing a suit and a vibrant bow tie of green or red, and performing Christmas concerts, often the highlight of the choral season. As Richard has mentioned, David also became a radio DJ at Heartland FM on the Sunday morning show Heart and Soul with Howard. In over 20 years of co-hosting the show, I felt they, in their longevity and popularity, in some way mirrored many successful double acts, for example, Anton Deck. Always one to enter a competition, David managed to get the show longlisted several times for the Religious Broadcasting Jerusalem Awards in London. Although never winning an award, invariably these went to the big hitters such as the BBC, he impressed sufficiently to be invited back to judge future awards. Sometimes Ginny would stand in for Howard and present the show with David. I like to think of their presentational style and their gentle banter as more like the Richard Judy of local radio. David also did other volunteering work, such as being a spear carrier for the theatre. He would have a long list of notice boards where he put up theatre posters. However, his charm would sometimes get him a free coffee at one of the hotels, which he'd be then very pleased about. Encouraged by Ginny, David also became an extra for a season in the theatre. And I remember going to see a play and complimenting the pair on their acting, especially David's placard waving in a group of angry protesters. Gardening was David's other passion. At Rannoch, he was lucky enough to have an allotment from which my brother and I would steal delicious fresh peas from the pod. But the garden in Pitlochry was a little bit small for all his plans. The only solution was to expand into the unused land next to his house. This guerrilla-style gardening seems quite popular in Pitlochry, I think. Over the years, he has transformed this wasteland into a Japanese-style garden with a Japanese maple leaf Acer, apple trees with their blossom in spring, and an arbor, a beautifully designed space. The apple trees providing a bumper crop even last year. Whilst never a big drinker, David would like to have a case of wine on order, so he would always have an excellent vintage to produce at family meals. There was a particular joy in making David laugh at the end of a long day and a hearty meal, assisted by a nice glass of red or white wine. David had a good sense of humour and a wry wit. One of my favourite memories was watching Home Alone movie together as a family, and David and his grandchildren all laughing together at the jokes and the slapstick humour of the film, all of them on exactly the same wavelength. We were lucky enough to spend time together as a family in the last few months, celebrating David and Ginny's golden wedding anniversary, a wonderful milestone. I remember at the event, Grandpa was full of energy and took on all comers, and his grandchildren, Aaron and James, almost beating him in arm wrestling. So how will we remember David? In the many cards, flowers, and tributes we received, he was often described as a gentleman, as a kind and considerate man, that he influenced countless students, and that he was a man of letters and of song. As a family, we plan to plant an apple tree in the garden to remember him by. The apples in autumn will remind us of how he loved apple pie, a love that has been passed on to his grandchildren. But also, as the tree grows strong, it will remind us of his quiet strength, loving and supporting the family. The spring flowers will remind us of his love of nature and his love of gardening. And perhaps the breeze on the leaves of the tree will remind us of his voice singing in the wind. He will be missed.
Thank you, Alistair, for that lovely tribute to a very full life. I can't add to what you said in tribute to your dad, except just for a few personal memories. Because I think, if I remember correctly, my first meeting with David was through Radio Heartland, doing Thought for the Week in a very cold studio, which at that time was in the ice rink. And he was very involved, of course, as you said. My first impressions were this tall, gently spoken man with a great degree of patience with someone like me doing multiple takes and didn't seem to get flustered by any of it. He must have spent many hours doing that. And what struck me was he was someone who, when he committed to something, he would commit to it wholeheartedly. I think his work at Rannoch School is an excellent example. That full on during term time and all the educational side, but also the extracurricular work. And David gave himself 100% to the task. But then he enjoyed learning himself and was committed to passing that on to younger generations, that love of knowledge and education. And he was, too, a man who thought deeply about life and faith. His upbringing in the Open Brethren in the early days probably gave him a very strong, firm grounding in Scripture. And in fact, the two passages Linda read for us had been marked by David in his own Bible. Clearly, for some reason, these passages spoke to him and were very appropriate for today. And it shows his own personal journey. He became very involved in Braids of Rannoch Church before moving here into Pitlochry and serving in the Kirk Session and in lots of roles. He was the go-to man for anything to do with communication and was always willing to volunteer. Much David was one of these much-needed souls who would do things, and when he saw things needing done, would volunteer. So he gave his time and energy and will be greatly missed within this congregation. At those first meetings I had with them at Heartland, we discovered we both had a love of choral music, reflected in the great hymn tunes that we've got today in the service, proper music and good tunes that are robust and strong. He sang in these three choirs that Alistair mentioned, and members of the choral are here today, which is lovely to have them here to sing for us, to join in this celebration of David's life. And before we join in a prayer of thanksgiving for him, we're going to hear them sing Howard Goodall's version of The Lord is My Shepherd. Thank you so much, Colleen and choir, for that lovely piece. Let us join together in prayer. The affirmation of the Psalms is that you, Lord, are our shepherd, And even though we walk through the valley of deepest darkness, we do sometimes fear because it's only human. And sometimes we puzzle over things which for now we cannot make sense of. And yet we cling to that promise that you are with us. Your rod and staff, they guide and comfort us. For what we know is that in Jesus Christ, the way of love and compassion is your way. So help us to know your loving touch now. Help us to be still and know your arms uphold us in our weakness. Lord God, we want to give thanks for the gift of life, for all that makes it rich and meaningful, the people we share it with, who've been part of our journey, guided and influenced the way we are. Particularly today for David, as in the quiet of this place we bring our own memories. For all the stages in his life, his early days in Cambridgeshire and Larbert, his time at Oxford, his teaching career taking him from London to Rannoch, and his years in retirement here in Pitlochry. For all he gave, his sense of commitment and loyalty, for his gifts, we are grateful. And we remember too the blessings of family life for those years that he and Ginny had together. As we give thanks for a husband and father, father-in-law, grandfather, brother-in-law, cousin, good friend. And we thank you for his Christian faith, grateful for all he did in this church and community. So for happy times enjoyed, for friendship and support given, for difficulties shared, we give you thanks. Lord, take him to yourself as we believe you will. And facing loss, we ask your blessing on all who will miss him most. Particularly, we ask you to be with Ginny, Alistair and Paula, Richard and Claire, Erin and James, Terry and Heather and their family. For them and all around them, we ask for comfort and strength through the hope that Jesus gives. May they cherish their memories and look forward in hope of what is to come, knowing that David is in your keeping through Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. So hear our prayers as we offer them in Jesus' name and sum them up in the words he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, can I just draw your attention to the notices in the sheet? And on behalf of Ginny and the family, thank you for being here today and for all the support and comfort they've been given by friends and neighbours. And thanks to all those who've contributed to this lovely service, to Colin and Andrew and the choir for their music as well, and for the organists for what they've offered in the music. They would be delighted, the family would be delighted, if you could join them at Scotland's Hotel straight after the service here, where you can join them for a time together and refreshments there. And if you would like to make a donation, you can donate to MAP Action in David's memory, and you'll see instructions there about the website as well that you can go to do that online. So we close with this great hymn, the great tune of Repton. I have a dream, a man once said, where all is perfect peace. Of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and all whom you love, now and forevermore. Amen.